This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The digital literacy and technological knowledge are crucial in our increasingly hyper-connected world. The possibilities are limitless for technologies that so closely parallel the way we think, imagine, and create. Here with me today is Tan Chin Aiki, is the chair of My Game Dev 2020 and the head of School of Computing and Creative Media from KDU University College, to talk about this My Game Dev 2020. Tan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So let's talk about the game development industry first. You know, how big is it exactly compared to the other entertainment industry? And what about the industry here locally?
Right, I'll start with the global scene first. Mm-hmm. I think if you were to, let's take one game, Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. Yeah, GTA 5.
Very famous game.
Yes, very famous game. It was launched in September 2013, yeah? And GTA 5 basically in 3 days made US $1 billion. Wow. This was one game in 3 days made US $1 billion. Let's compare it with the movie industry. Mm-hmm. The highest grossing film of all time was Avatar. Yeah, and Avatar made about 2.7 billion, yeah, in about 3 months. The entire music industry made about 1.4 billion in about a month. Mm. So you have one game, 3 days, made US 1 billion. That's awesome, mm. Yeah. World of Warcraft, on the other hand, as well, they made 10 billion USD. Wow. That's huge, yeah. So it's a real big industry. The games industry is actually larger than the movie industry, then the book industry, and the TV industry all combined. Yeah, it's a huge industry.
What about locally?
Locally, well, a lot of Malaysians don't know this as well. Malaysia has been involved in the games industry since the early 90s. Yeah, we've been doing what's known as the outsourcing work. So we have been doing games for the PlayStation, the Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color. Recently, some of the studios have actually set up shop in Malaysia. Mm. Codemaster Studios, yeah, one of UK's oldest game studios, and they're the makers of games such as Operation Flashpoint, Grid, Colin McRae, yeah, and they've set up in Malaysia since 2006. Ah. Up to 70 to 80% of all the artwork in their games, F1 All-Stars, F1 Online, F1 2012, 2013, was done in Malaysia. Wow. A lot of Malaysians don't know that. And we've got a lot
I didn't know that as well.
Yeah. Oh. So we've got games such as companies such as Streamline Studios. They're from the Netherlands. And they have traditionally done projects. They are outsourcing studio in the Netherlands. And they have done projects for Atari, THQ, Electronic Arts. And they shut down the entire Netherlands operations and came down to Malaysia as well.
Why are the companies doing that?
Well,
what's the attraction in Malaysia actually?
One of the things you have to consider is, if let's say I'm going to pay £3,000 for an artist, a games artist or a games programmer in the UK, if I were to convert that into Malaysian ringgit, that would be, what, 15,000? 15,000 ringgit? For that price, I can actually hire either 5 relatively mid-range artists or programmers or 3 slightly higher scale artists or programmers. So my productivity level goes up either from 5 times or 3 times. Yeah. So in other words, it's like saying Malaysia is cheap lah. Mm. Yeah. But I don't think it's about being cheap as well.
The quality is still there.
Yeah, the quality is there. I mean, look what 2 years ago, Malaysians were involved in the Life of Pi production through Rhythm and Hues. Yeah, and that won the Best Academy Awards for Visual Effects. So put it this way, we're cost effective and we've got the quality to match as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why a lot of these companies are coming down to Southeast Asia, Malaysia in particular.
And what about the local content, like local games that we're developing, you know, based on, you know, I don't know, maybe some of them based on, you know, the culture, the Malaysian culture. Are they going big as well?
Well, we do have Malaysian IP. But the thing is, we have to start thinking out of the box. We can't create an IP based only for Malaysian consumption. We can't. Because the Malaysian market is relatively small. Mm. When we produce, and if we produce any content, it has to be for the global industry. Yeah, the global consumption. And that's where the money is, actually.
Mm. What are plans in store for Malaysia to have a market share in this fast-growing industry? Can we actually catch up with the rest of the world?
You see, the sad thing is, we started relatively early in the 90s. I think one of the first Southeast Asian countries to actually get into game development. Mm. Yeah. True, it was not insourcing. It was an outsourcing model. But I think we didn't capitalize on that. What what happened was the traditional Asian mindset. It's very simple. When you think of games, you think of cyber cafe. You think of, you know, hours of wasted, instead of studying, yeah, kids are playing computer games. So the negative connotation.
Mm.
But no one actually capitalized on the fact that the games industry, the development industry, is actually a growing industry. So because of that, we didn't plan ahead. We didn't create the necessary skilled talents for that. Mm. And that's actually very essential to create a proper game development hub within a region. You need several key ingredients, and one of the key ingredients is a critical mass of skilled talents. Malaysia has to have that.
Mm. And what are we doing to get that?
Well, under the My Game Dev initiative, one of our initiatives is actually branding and awareness. We actually want to go to all the parents, yeah, and tell them, look, games is not only about playing games, yeah, it's about making games. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, it's a huge industry. Yeah. Number three is the industry is actually coming down to Southeast Asia as we speak. Mm. Our closest neighbors has Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed, they are actually arguably the top five games company in the world.
They've even got LucasArts as well.
Yeah. So take for example, Ubisoft. They have about 15 studios around the world, and their biggest studio is in Montreal.
Mm.
Yeah, it's about 1,000 people. It's huge. The industry is huge.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think what we are trying to do now is we are trying to reach out to as many people as possible and letting them know that the games industry is a viable career opportunity. There is opportunity there.
Mm.
Yeah, there is a growth there. So what My Game Dev 2020 does, or My Game Dev, which stands for Malaysian Game Development, if you didn't get it by now, we run a lot of activities at secondary school level.
Mm.
So we just concluded this competition called Tabletop 2014.
Which is?
It's a board game competition. Yeah, and it's not those traditional board games like Monopoly and Scrabble. Okay. It's basically board games. Right now, you have this a lot of board game cafes coming out, and following the European theme, a lot of those quite interesting, creative sort of board games. So what we do is, because board games is the first step to creating digital games, once you understand the rules behind board games, that's actually essentially games design. The mechanics, the rules, and then if you talk about probability and statistics, you need to know that for games programming.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this competition at secondary schools. We had it in April in the Klang Valley, and we went down to Melaka as well. So the whole purpose of the tabletop was basically to let the secondary school children have a first glimpse of the development process. Mm. It's basically a two-day event, and they start off from nothing. We give them a theme, which we announce it on the first day, and they're given about 2 days to create a board game.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Together with that, we actually have this school counselors awareness activity. And what that basically means is, because long-term, we have to actually create the talent pipeline. And the talent pipeline begins at secondary school, right up to tertiary, and that's how we create the critical mass of skilled talents. So we basically engage all the school counselors, and if you know, school counselors are pretty important in the school. Yeah, they actually tell the students, you're good at drawing. maybe this is your career path. You know.
Yeah.
So what we did was last year we engaged about 160 school counselors across the Klang Valley. We brought them to both KDU as well as KTAR. We told them a bit about the games industry. And in case they didn't believe us, we brought them all, lock, stock and barrel, to Codemasters Studios.
Wow.
And that's where the magic happened.
Mm.
They were so amazed. And they went like, oh my goodness, this is what game developers do. This is what game artists actually work on.
Mm.
It's so complex. It's so technical, you know. Yeah, the whole perception changed.
And it's an artist.
Yeah. Codemasters Studios is basically art development for now. They are going into programming.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to mobile development as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the same with about 2 weeks ago, the Melaka school counselors. So what we are going to do is going to approach every state if possible and just basically educate all these school counselors and say that, look, this is what game developers does. This is the industry. These are the studios in Malaysia. Yeah, take it away from there.
Mm. You know, it sounds like there's a lot of awareness to be done at the moment. But besides awareness, what other sort of recipes do you think is needed in order for Malaysia to just bloom in or just grow in that industry?
I mean, there are other factors as well. If you talk about, you know, your infrastructure, tax rebates, the support of the relevant government agencies. But the critical part is always the talent, the talent pool. If Malaysia can create a huge mass of skilled talents, that will be the main factor. A few months ago, actually last year to be precise, there was a game studio that came down. Sony Worldwide Studios. They came down for a visit to Malaysia and they were looking to set up somewhere in the Southeast Asia. And one of the first questions they asked is not infrastructure. They didn't ask about, you know, how's Malaysian food? How's the infrastructure here? What are the tax rebates? I mean, that's important. But one of the first questions they asked was, if we were to come down to Malaysia, would we be able to get the talents needed to grow for the next 5 years? 100 artists, 100 programmers, you know, those sort of things. Those are the questions that they ask. If you were to go down to Singapore, Ubisoft as well, you'll notice that up to 20% of their staff, I'm giving a conservative number here, but they are Malaysians. So there is a market and talent is a huge factor.
You know, let's say we start developing the talents today. You know, how long before we actually see them develop into, you know, grow into a guru in the industry? What are we talking about? 5 years? 10 years?
That would be a conservative number. I think most importantly is there are two factors at hand here. Long term, should Malaysia be continuing as an outsourcing center? No. We should be developing our own IP. We should be developing Angry Birds. Angry Birds did they actually grew the entire Finnish games industry from one game itself. And we should aim for that. But right now, what we need to do is we need to bring in the foreign game developers, the Codemasters Studios, the Streamline Studios, the Sony Worldwide Studios to Malaysia. And that's where the transfer of talent happens. That's where the transfer of knowledge happens. Yeah, you get these people working in the industry long enough, 5-10 years, they're confident enough to go out, do their own content. And that's where we're looking at the long-term growth.
What about career or opportunities in the game development industry? Is it big enough?
Right now, all the studios are looking for people. They can't find enough artists. 100% they can't find enough programmers right now. So there is this studio as well, a local studio. It's called Lemon Sky Animation. And they handle content for some of the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 games. I can't really name all the games now. I don't think I'm allowed to. But they are about, if I'm not mistaken, about 100 to 120 people right now, and they're looking to grow. They're looking to grow to about 150, 180. Even Codemasters are right now about 70 people. They're hoping to grow to about 150 by the end of this year.
What are some of the common misconceptions or hindrance to the growth of this sector?
Usually, it's the negative connotation. A lot of parents, the mindset, they don't understand. Their first mindset is, you all play games the whole day, you know? So that's the main thing that we changed, that it's not about playing games. Yes, they'll be fixed on a computer, but they'll be developing content. It's no different than animation. It's no different than visual effects. So that's the biggest shift that has to happen.
I'm speaking to Tan Chin Aik. He is the chair of My Game Dev 2020 and also from the head of School of Computing and Creative Media from KDU University College. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about some of the initiatives under the My Game Dev 2020 game development cluster. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
Jeff Sandhu here, and today I'm speaking to Tan Chin Aik. He is the chair of My Game Dev 2020 and head of School of Computing and Creative Media from KDU University College. And we are talking about My Game Dev 2020. What's My Game Dev game development cluster all about, and how does it sort of fit into the ETP?
Right. Basically, what is My Game Dev is a combination of all the academic institutions, most of the academic institutions that offer games development. So you've got KDU University College, you have MMU, you have KTA, you have UTA, you have University Pendidikan Sultan Idris, UITM, and they all have representative in My Game Dev. And you also have the industry people as well, Codemasters Studios, Streamline Studios, the local game studios as well as the industry representative. The Multimedia Development Corporation. And what we do here is basically It's a strategic collaboration to actually boost up the industry. Mm. So we come together and we basically discuss on how do we take the next step to grow the entire industry.
And since you're from KDU, you know, what's KDU investment or plan in all of this?
Well, it's in line with the government policy as well, is to create the talents. Mm. So what we do at KDU University College is we ensure that whatever the students learn is in line with what the industry wants. And that's very important.
And how do you do that?
We signed the MOU with Codemaster Studios, basically benchmarking our students' work to their development pipeline. And that's very important. Mm. But most importantly, what we do is we hire our lecturers. 50% of them are actually from the industry, currently working in the industry. So they're actually part-time lecturers. Yeah, they come in. We've got CEOs and CTOs of their own studios, but they come in and teach as well. Mm. And that's very important because they bring with them all the necessary experience and all the tips and tricks of the industry. Mm. The academics itself as well, they are all from the games industry. So I've got an art lecturer who have actually have his name to the game such as Sega All-Stars Racing, Afro Samurai. So I've got lectures like that as well. Mm. And that's very important because what they're teaching is they're not teaching from the book. They're teaching based on experience and what they have done. And that's very, very important. Mm. So that's our role in crafting the talents. That means when the talents leave, they're not graduates, by the way. They are talents. I like to call them talents. Mm. That means they can fit into any games industry very, very fast. Mm.
And there's also that perception or you know, an understanding that, you know, the game development or the game industry is not so much about, you know, paperwork. It's not so much about, you know, what degree or what masters do you have. It's a lot about experience.
That's true. Generally, a lot of games companies, they wouldn't care about whether you have a degree. Mm. Whether you have a diploma. If you have a very strong portfolio, they'll bring you in right on the spot. But how the percentage of those people is very low. Mm. Yeah. So what we needed to do was to create a pipeline, something like a training for them to actually go through the entire development pipeline of the games industry. Mm. To know the you know, for example, programming, to know art, to know design. Mm. And that's crucial because to learn on yourself, it's actually relatively hard. Mm.
Yeah. Then when you speak about games, you know, when you see there's so many components that make a game, right? So can you tell me the differences between, you know, games art and then games design and then games technology?
Right. Well, this the word game development is divided into three, like you mentioned. So game development is the holistic, the whole process of creating games. And within there, you have game art. And game art handles the visual components of games. So let's take, for example, a game called Dota. Mm. I'm sure, yeah, you have played that.
Probably some. Yeah. I don't play Dota, but I think a lot of people.
So basically, the characters, the 3D, the interface, you know, anything visual, that's the role of a games artist. And then you have games programming. That's handling the back-end aspect. So things like the artificial intelligence, if you're playing a game with destructible terrain, leave it to the programmers to figure how that works. Yeah. So they handle all the back-end, the nitty-gritty components, right? Whether it's server interaction, multiplayer interaction, all those parts. The games designers is actually the one that binds both together. And basically, we're talking about the storyline behind the game, the mechanics, the rules, what makes the game so immersive, what makes the game so fun that you can play past 3 a.m. in the morning and not feel sleepy and basically say, yeah, give me one more hour, I'll finish it. Mm. That is what a games designer does. Mm.
Do you focus more on mobile, or, you know, do you just focus on general gaming? Because, you know, obviously mobile has been one of the big causes of why the gaming industry is just so big. So when it comes to teaching and trying to educate or create the awareness, do you focus more on the mobile scene?
I think for us at KDU, we focus general. So basically multi-platform. Mm. To be honest, we do actually put a emphasis on PC and console. Yeah, because it's very easy to go into mobile later on once you focus on PC and console. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's well, games, the platform ultimately is just a medium. Yeah, what we do is we want the students to actually understand the finer points of gameplay or a finished art
or the programming to come out with something innovative in the sense of games. Mm. One of the other initiatives that we're actually having is the Animax International Festival for Computer Games and Animation. Mm. Animax is actually a festival that's predominantly held in the UK, traditionally held in the UK, the Northeast, by the University of Teesside. They've been running for about 10 years now. And this is the first time we're actually bringing it down to Malaysia, to Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. So what's Animax? Animax is basically, it's going to be happening on the 27th and 28th of September. And it's a festival where we bring all the big names in games development as well as animation to Malaysia. And the whole purpose is basically twofold. Number one is for our own tertiary education students and our industry people to actually learn a bit through the masterclass and through the talks. But also the crafty side of it is to bring these people down so that we can actually showcase that Malaysia has the talent capacity. Mm. So that when they go back home, they go like, hey, you know, why don't we come to Malaysia? Why don't we set our office in Malaysia? Why don't we send some projects to Malaysia? And some of the big names includes Alex Trowers. If you play games, he's formerly from Bullfrog. That's the Syndicate series games, as well as BlackRock, mm-hmm. that's Split Second and MotoGP. We have Max Howard coming down. He's the former president of Warner Brothers Feature Animation, and he worked on Space Jam, The Iron Giant. We also have someone like Jennifer Clixby, the producer for Lionhead Studios. That's Fable 3, the Fable series. We have Ed Hooks, acting for animation, Stuart Sumida, so a huge range of names. So I think if any of the people are interested, do check us out for that. It's at animax.net/SEA, as in Southeast Asia.
What's the goal for My Game Dev 2020 game development cluster?
Definitely to make Malaysia the Southeast Asian or the regional hub for game development in Malaysia and beat the pants off Singapore, of course.
And how long are we looking at?
I hope to do it, to achieve all that by 2020. Mm. Yeah, so that's our finishing point. So by the time we reach 2020, we should have a few more game studios here. The foreign direct investors, international game companies, we should be producing or on our way to producing content. Mm. And we should have that critical mass of skilled talents. Mm. Yeah.
And we are on the right track anyway.
Definitely.
All right. I've been speaking to Tan Chin Ike. He is the chair of My Game Dev 2020 and also the head of School of Computing and Creative Media from KDU University College, talking about My Game Dev 2020. Tan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.